right, next up is Diana Sinton from UCGIS.
Thank you very much. So I'm not quite sure, I don't remember exactly what the title of my abstract was, but instead of just harping on data science programs in universities, I'd like to step back a little bit because a lot of my harping about those programs has to do with issues of communication. And I think at this point in the conference too, it's I think we'll see that a lot of themes have come up that will remind us about how important how important the idea of communication is to informing what we do. I'm a geographer. I work for a University Consortium for Geographic Information Science. Many of you come from universities that might be members of ours. I also have experience of teaching GIS every year at Cornell University. And what I want to talk a little bit about this is this idea of strategic bridge building, because although I often experience this in the settings of formal and informal educational settings, we really have been talking significantly about building bridges across a lot of different communities at a lot of different scales and levels. And within that context, the group has highlighted a number of things that mean a lot to me when I do harp on data science programs. One of them is that a lot of the data that we use that's geographic within data science programs has frequently come out of a tradition of looking at things from a particular perspective and being very comfortable at cataloging space, but we've already heard about all of the needs for us to be a little more sensitive to place. So there's one area of tension right now that we've heard come up a lot in the last day and a half, which has to do with space and place. Another thing has to do with, it captures the ideas of representation, captures the ideas of modeling, the ideas of data aggregation we've talked a number of times about. And this goes back to the frequency with which we continue to rely on points and polygons to represent all sorts of features of the natural and social world and the inadequacies of those for all sorts of different reasons, yet it seems to be continuing, it is for too long a default of what we turn to. So complaining, and we're very well aware of some of these issues, what I want to do is just spend the time that I have to be strategic about suggesting a few different audiences that that are not as aware of these topics as those of us in this room are. And one of the things I want to start out with is saying that it's not just this group here. If you talk to a lot of people around data science, you'll find that the scale of the city is something that comes up frequently. We've had talks about Baltimore here. We've had talks about Toronto here. There's everyone in the room is familiar with the whole idea of smart cities. The city is a scale that's really useful for looking at a lot of the questions we're talking about. And as a scale, it reaches at all sorts of dimensions of things that are relevant for data science. Every city, every major city in the world has data scientists who are giving different sectors of that city information. I think it behooves us to be a little more strategic about thinking about some ways to communicate with people across cities, not just within cities, but across cities. Wouldn't it be great if we could be asked to make a presentation at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, for example, that meets every year? In fact, they're going to be here in Boston in June, to be able to talk about the geographic questions that their data scientists are giving them responses to, and the way they're not asking those questions in necessarily geographically informed ways. Another group I think that we need to be savvier about talking to are businesses, especially decision makers in businesses. And I want to give this one little example that I have. A good friend of mine is the chief operating officer, the COO, of a small to mid-sized company here in the U.S. And what they do is they work with hospitals in cities to get hospitals and other medical care centers to share expensive medical equipment. Because you might have a hospital that only needs this incredibly expensive equipment one day every other week, or every Thursday is when they schedule things. Wouldn't it be great if there were systems in place around the logistics of this so that they could actually, if these were either portable machines physically, or if somehow the machine was in a place where people had multiple access to it. So he knows that I think a lot about data science, and he said, oh man, we hire a lot of data scientists. We have lots of people who do machine learning and some deep learning and AI and stuff with all that we do. He says, but almost every single one of them is NCE. And I said, what's NCE? And he said, NCE means no client exposure. because the people that they hire are not able to effectively talk to the clients that they're hiring. So they've got this communication gap. There's a whole bunch of data scientists who were NCE in this company. And I know this is not the only problem that we have with communication about things that are really highly technical and very specialized. I'm going to bring this up later, the complications we have about novice to expert communications. Another group that we ought to be more strategically having conversation with are data science tech startups. There are a lot of these around the world. There are a lot of them in the Silicon Valley. I'm going to pick on one that I know a little bit better than others called Palantir, which is based in Palo Alto. They have two main platforms, one called Gotham, one called Foundry. If you have a company or a business or a city and you want this company Palantir to help ingest your data, compare it with a lot of other information and spit you back out insights, then they might be your company. Has a lot of really smart, mostly young people who do a lot of programming, lots of engineers with Palantir. And a lot of their data science have backgrounds in engineering and physics. When I recently had a chance to speak with a Palantir data scientist, who technically I think he's called a deployment, deployment strategist is what he is now. And he now is hiring data scientists now too. He'll say, we were talking about the kind of work I do, and he said, geographic information science. There's a field of geographic information science. There's a field of location analytics. He knows that they use location data. He was completely open to having conversations. It had just never occurred to him before that there was a field of people who were doing this. I think that I'm not saying that everyone is going to be as receptive to having open conversations, but that's a group that we don't regularly enough have conversations with. Another group of data scientists that I think we ought to be a little more strategic with having interesting conversations with are the ones who run a website called Towards Data Science. Some of you might have heard me talk about these people before. It's a website that one of the Medium websites, capital M Medium. And what it's comprised of is many different user-contributed letters, blog postings, essays, different ideas. They group them around these different themes for the Towards Data Science. They have a machine learning, a programming, a visualization one. One of the things that they have, which kind of gives you insights into the way that a lot of people in this data science way are thinking, are if you pull out any of their different particular little essays that, you know, that users contribute, how can we save data viz? Well, we can talk about cartography a little bit, or four ways to fail a data scientist job interview. How about the one way to nail one if you actually do something, say something clever about the way that you're going to analyze your geographic data that might be coming up? I like a recent little contribution on here's why so many data scientists are leaving their jobs. And one of the things that this particular individual pulled out was the dissatisfaction that many data scientists are feeling that they are becoming, especially in a smaller situation, they might be the one data scientist and they're expected to be able to do everything and understand all sorts of different data, and location data is something that they particularly don't have experience with. But another one is that they feel really ill-equipped to work in teams. And this goes back to some of that communication things. One thing that Towards Data Science does is they every month focus a whole bunch of essays on a particular topic. We need to have one of their months be things about geospatial data science here. Just coming to the end here, most of my experiences have to do with higher education. I think there are audiences like institutional review boards that would welcome some awareness about some of the things that we work with. I think that there are journal editors. I think there are curriculum committees at all levels. I know that at state universities, if you have a new master's in data science, your state has to approve that program. What does it mean to have a master's in data science? Where's the component of geography or location data within that? At the smaller level, we have program assessment and external reviewers. People are going to start to be asked to review masters in data sciences and all the new programs that are coming out. How can we make sure that a geographic voice is heard within that too? So just finishing up here, I think going back to the very basic idea of communication, we have a lot of needs to communicate across novices and experts. And there are many of us who are, you know, might think of themselves as experts in one area that have to have conversations across a wide sector. And it's a whole different type of ballgame when you're really talking about five experts talking with each other, five experts from different domains. And sometimes I like when I'm thinking about this as a metaphor, it's not Spanish or French. It's not something that we can kind of figure out and fake it if we need to. It's really Arabic, Russian, or Chinese, because so many times you just don't even know how to begin with those languages of communication. We don't even have the right way to understand the characters of what it is that they're saying. So I want to just end on this, that I think that we need to be more strategic and more open and more transparent about our communication. I think we need to find safer spaces to talk about things like this, because very many universities and other places are very territorial. There's a business around all of this as well. I will leave it on one last thing. UCGIS is having a meeting that's a little similar to this. Some of you will be at our meeting in a month too. It's Frontiers of Geospatial Data Science. We'll be in Madison in a month. And there we're going to be focusing a little bit more about the university context of how we can broker conversations on campuses between people who are geospatial information scientists and people who are involved with other data science programs. So thank you very much. Yeah.